Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Good morning. Today's scripture comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Nothing is ever the same when a baby is born into a family. Nothing is ever the same when a baby is born into a family. We all have to make adjustments when the new member of the family arrives. Life is simply never the same. This Advent season, we are looking at four very special Bible babies as we look together to discover how a baby changes everything.
You pray with me. Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation and the inspiration in all of our hearts and thoughts be acceptable in your sight, for you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are looking at this season of Advent. Baby changes everything. This Advent season, this season of hope, this season that calls us into a time of recognizing that in spite of the fact that there is darkness in our world. You know, I've been, over the years, every Advent season comes and goes. And we look for peace in the world, and there is yet to be an Advent season where it seems that there was peace all over the world. We look today at Afghanistan. We look at Iran and Iraq. We look at countries in Africa. We look at Jerusalem and Gaza. We look at, we even look at the uncertainty of our own country. And there are just, it's a time of Advent is this reminding us that in spite of the fact that there is uncertainty about our future, there is still hope because God is with us. It's a very powerful season for us to understand. Isaiah knew it. Chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah, one of the beautiful passages, Advent passages. You might want to mark it in your Bible, chapter 9, starting with verse 2. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." It's a testament to Advent that in spite of the fact that there's uncertainty around us, God has not left us. "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and authority rests upon his shoulders. His name is Wonderful, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Advent is a time of promise. Hope and promise. During this Advent time, we're going to be talking about Bible babies. Four in particular. First one is Moses. We're going to talk about Moses, baby Moses today. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about baby Samuel, baby Samuel's relationship with the baby Jesus. Lessons and carols will be the next Sunday. And then the Sunday after that, the Sunday right before Christmas, it's baby John the Baptist. But today is Moses. God came to Moses when he was an old man, and he says, there's going to be a day when I'm going to raise up a prophet just like you from among your own people, and they shall heed this prophet. And Israel has been looking for that prophet ever since. A prophet like Moses. The baby Moses story, how does it relate to the baby Jesus story? Well, there are connections. Exodus starts out telling, reminding us that there is a new king in the land, a new Pharaoh in Egypt. And this Pharaoh has long forgotten all about Joseph and who Joseph was and his importance in the history and the life of Egypt and how the leadership of Joseph had transformed the civilization and made it survive years and years of famine out of his leadership. But years have passed. Joseph's memory is gone. The Israelites are still populating Egypt, and they're growing and they're multiplying, and this is becoming an issue for the Pharaoh. If they continue to grow and populate our country, they will soon overtake us. We've got to do something, and so Pharaoh has a plan. So he calls the midwives of the Hebrews in, and he says, I'm going to place a bounty on all baby boys. All baby boys, I want you to make sure they are not born alive. Baby girls are okay, but not the boys. Now, the Hebrew midwives had a deep, profound faith. They said, this is not right, and so this is not something we're going to do. And so after a while, realizing that this is idea was not accomplishing anything. The Pharaoh calls the midwives in and says, what's going on? I told you what I needed done. And the midwives say, well, you know, these Hebrew women, they're just so hale and hearty, and they're just, those babies just are born before we even arrive. Well, this angers the Pharaoh, and he makes a decree over all the land that all baby boys born of Hebrew mothers immediately must be thrown in the Nile. Now, the story of the morning is the story of the scripture passages. We have a man from the clan of Levi marrying a woman from the clan of Levi. They conceive and they bear a little boy. They're able to hide him for at least 3 months. But then he gets too old. They have to do something about him. Have to hide him away. If you read the passage in the King James Version, it tells you they put him in an ark to hide him in the bulrushes. An ark. You know, the Old Testament has three arks. The most famous ark, obviously, is Noah's ark, where Noah put all of the animals of the earth. And we probably heard, thanks to Indiana Jones, the Ark of the Covenant. Now, in the Ark of the Covenant is the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. But there's a third ark. It's the little wicker basket that was made to place the baby Moses to hide in the bulrushes. So what does this tell us about arks in the Old Testament? Are they things where the precious things of God are placed? Even in the midst of the storms and the trials of life, God's precious things placed in an ark. It also reminds us that even in the midst of incredibly dark, oppressive, enslaved times, when everything seems hopeless, God has a plan. God has a purpose. A child is born. Is there an ark in the New Testament? It never says that the manger is an ark, but it is. Where the precious thing of God is laid. So, let's go to chapter 2 in Matthew. Matthew's gospel is very important. Matthew really wants to make clear that there is a connection. He's writing to Jewish Christians, and he wants to make sure that they know that there is a deep, profound connection between Moses and Jesus. That Jesus is not only the prophet like Moses that has been predicted from ages past, but Jesus is the prophet beyond Moses. Chapter 2 in Matthew is the story of the Magi. It's the story of the royal philosophers of Persia who see one night in the sky a celestial phenomena that they don't quite understand, but they predict what it is. They understood by this particular star that a new king has been born in Judea. And so they make a diplomatic pilgrimage, heading west, heading for Judea to meet and greet this newborn king of Judea and make a pact early on, because Judea is a prime trade route and we want to have diplomatic relations early on. And so they make this pilgrimage with their gifts to give to the newborn king. They arrive in Jerusalem. They have no idea where the newborn king is, and so they go to the current king, Herod, who is king solely on the blessing of Rome, because he's able to collect a lot of taxes. He's not even Judean himself. He's not even fully Jewish. And so the wise men ask, where is this newborn king? To Herod's dismay, he'd never heard of a newborn king. All of Jerusalem hears about the newborn king. They're all in dismay. He calls the scholars together and says, if the newborn king is to be born, where would the newborn king be born? And the scholars say, well, the scriptures tell us that if that's going to happen, it'll be in Bethlehem. So Herod says, go to Bethlehem, and if you find this newborn king, come back and tell me so I can go and pay homage to. You know the story. The wise men go. They find the baby Jesus, and they offer him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and but they're pretty suspicious. They're warned in a dream. It's not a good idea to go back and tell Herod. They recognize a suspicious, fearful gleam in his eye, this threat to power. And so the wise men go by another way. And this next piece we don't often talk about in church because it's heavy. But Herod is angry. He sees he's been tricked. He's infuriated. So he goes and tells his henchmen to go to Bethlehem and kill all the children under two. Advent tells us that even in the darkest of times, even in the most violent of situations, even when it seems incredibly hopeless, God has a plan. A child is born. Rachel weeps for all her children, and she refuses to be consoled. It's a very hard thing to think about. So what's our takeaway for the morning? I think there are four things. First, church, let us be very compassionate and very sensitive about this season of the year. In all of its beauty and all of its song and all of its light and all of its joy, there are those who are going through difficult times because of the loss of loved ones. And simply for us to be aware, for us to be sensitive, to us to be caring, and us to be friends. And to surround those people that we know, family and friends, with a Christian love that is beyond all others. It's incredible, it's powerful, it's unbelievable. The power of Christian love surrounding someone that's going through a difficult time. Compassion and sensitivity. The second is to remember you're going to hear this often, the reason for the season, and that is what we are about to celebrate in Christmas is the central doctrine of Christianity. It is what is understood as when the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus Christ, when the Word became flesh. This is the primary faith of Christianity. Jews don't have it. Muslims don't have it. This is ours. And because we believe that Jesus is fully human and fully God, within that comes the promise of complete redemption and reconciliation in the world by the power of God. That's Christmas. And for us to not be distracted by all of the other stuff of Christmas, but to know that the central reason for why we celebrate it is that God came down at Christmas. Love came down at Christmas and redeems the world. The third thing to remember is even in spite of the incredible darkness that may be around us and the uncertainty of our future, God's hope and God's promise is true. And for us, never, never lose our faith. And the last thing. As long as human beings keep having babies, God is not through with us yet.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.